Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. This week, Glenda has a continuation for you of last week's podcast with her good friend Nicole of wingsofwarfare.blogspot.com. May this continuation be a blessing to you. And without further delay, here's part two.
We have to remember that when doubt comes in, because it's going to. I mean, doubt will try to attack us on a daily basis if we let it. But when doubt comes in, declare against the doubt. Speak your promise out.
Amen.
Recently, I'd had a very low breakdown moment, if you want to call it that. I was really, really tired. It had been a really crazy nightmare of the whole year that we've all been through. No, everybody feels like that. I was stretched to my limit, and like the devil always does, he used my weariness, my tiredness to send me to a breaking point. And something happened, and I've come to this moment a couple of times, but this was a pretty good, profound one. I was just like, okay, I'm done. I can't. I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done this. This is all my fault. What am I doing? I didn't hear God. I'm done.
Yeah, I've been at that point. I've been at that wall before, my own self. I sure have.
Gosh.
I probably wrote my name on it while I was there. You'll probably see that.
And so it's like I had a pity party, and I just said all I had to say to God and just cried and did all the things was done. And that's all I could say. I was done. I was
been
just,
there.
Ugh. And so I stopped, and everybody had left the house, and I had some time. And so it's like and then of course, like I just said, I was actually, the plan was everybody was leaving to go do something. I was going to work on my sermon, because I don't ever really preach on a Sunday morning. That was traumatic enough for me to do.
And you're so good at it. So that's so funny, but
no, in my sermon, I use this illustration, since we're talking about plants again. Okay. It's like, I have to know God wants me to do something when I don't want to do it.
Yeah,
He wants to. Yes. And so it's kind of like a plant. The plant's outgrown the pot, and it needs, you know, as a gardener, needs to go into another pot so it can become fuller. And so you take the plant out, and then you move it to a bigger pot, but the plant goes into shock because it does not like being moved. It was very comfortable where it was. It doesn't want to be moved. And so he does that to me. And he does that to everybody a lot. He doesn't want us to become too comfortable. He wants us to grow. And so I was working on the sermon, and that's extremely outside of my comfort zone. I did not want to do that. When they asked me to, I was like, are you kidding me? But then I was like, okay, I know he really wants me to, because I really don't want to. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to do it. And it went
that's funny.
Really well. But so I was getting ready to start working on the sermon. I'm like, there's no way, I cannot focus after this emotional thing that has happened. I'm just, how can I do this? You know? Yeah. So I started working on something else. And once I got control of my emotions and I was able to think clearly, God started showing me that, you know, I was throwing a temper tantrum and it was going to be okay. That he wanted me to keep on fighting and to not give up.
And that's what he wants us to do over our promises, isn't it? All our promises.
Yes, because if we give up, they're not going to be seen. Then we won't see them. I mean, God told me a long time ago that if we don't fight, they win by default. So he doesn't have to fight us all the time. He just has to get us to give up. That's very easy for him.
Yeah. Just get us to walk away from the fight.
Yeah.
And then Satan's playhouse is full of all our stuff. That's not okay.
No, not at all. And so I had, again, I was doubting whether God, okay, this, you know, this is just me. And this is my, you know, but he started showing me that deep inside, it's a feeling, you know, deep inside that you can't get away from, that he told you this. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. I'm hindering it because I'm giving up. And so I thought about all the stuff that Jesus did for us and for me, how he was willing to give up his life. And then why would it be so hard for me to give up the dream of what I would want for my life, for Kevin, for my husband?
And God's will, And God's will is for you to be equally yoked, not unequally yoked.
And he wants him saved more than I do. Yes. It's his will that all be saved, that none perish. Yes. That is scripture.
It is always his will for your unsaved spouse to be saved.
And it may be tomorrow. It may be and on his deathbed. That doesn't matter. What I sacrifice in travail for him is worth it.
Yes.
And so he reminded me of that, and I was okay. And the next day, I kind of thought, like, why did I just have a breakdown like that? But it happens to
we always think that later.
Yes. When you're exhausted and you're tired emotionally and spiritually, he comes in at you, and he knows exactly what to do, and then boom, it's there.
And so, you do a lot. You have how many jobs now?
Two.
Yeah, two jobs, and your worship leader at your church, and you have three children and a husband at home, am I right?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, all right, and we don't have to wonder why you're tired then. I'm just saying, your routine, your whole schedule makes me tired just thinking about it.
So I remember in that moment, I asked God to send me a word, and I asked him to send it through you, but I didn't tell you about it. I just was like, hey, so you need to just confirm to me again that I'm not crazy and that this is going to happen. And so a couple of days later, I put on one of your podcasts, and there was a word in there, and I can't remember the exact wording, but it was like some about woman of God. Your promise is coming. Somebody that's supposed to do is delaying it, but it's coming. Just hang on.
I remember giving that word. I had no idea who it was for.
Yeah. And I was like, that's for me. And I knew it, you know, just reaffirmed. I'd already gotten over the temper tantrum 6 days later, but it just reaffirmed it. And so it was good. And then recently I put on one of your podcasts where you had Ray Bergman on. And in that section, he said the scripture, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then you stopped and you said, wait, I just got a revelation of that. And you remember what it was he said?
I remember that I suddenly saw that a lot of people are not hearing from God because they're not in the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing.
By the word of God. Hearing by the word of God.
Yeah, by the word of God. So if you're in the word of God, that's how you hear him. Because when you're reading, it's the only book in the world that the author is present every time you read.
It's the only book that's alive.
Yeah, it's the only book that is alive.
His word is what changes us from the inside.
His spirit is in every page.
Yes. And so that night, the same day that I heard the podcast, that night I was going to bed and I was thinking, okay, I need to pray for him again. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, I'm tired.
And we need to all pray for Nicole, y'all, and her husband. So I'm just saying.
Yeah. I was like, God, I'm tired. Have to be the easier way. I don't know what to do anymore. I've exhausted every possibility in my brain. I'm just saying I'm tired. And all of a sudden, it's like it came to me that scripture, faith comes by hearing. And I was like, I said, God, I ask right now that you would send an angel, assign him an angel to walk around with him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, continually reading the word to his spirit man constantly until he gets saved. And it's like, I was like,
I agree with that prayer too.
Yeah. And so I suggest people do that. It was so silly that I didn't think of that before. But again, your circumstances cloud what you see when you're going through crazy emotional.
Well, and it's not like you're laying around on the couch eating bonbons all day where you can actually have a complete thought. You know, you're going 90 to nothing all the time.
Yeah. When I've looked back on the temper tantrum I threw, I started thinking, you know, the hour is too late for me to give up. What would even be the point? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter the emotional stuff I go. It doesn't matter. I'm going to go through and push through anyway. The Christian race is a marathon, and there's times when a runner just runs so much they think they're going to pass out. They just can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you don't win unless you cross the finish line.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
We don't want to hand Satan any presents he didn't earn.
All he has to do is make us give up. That's what his goal is, to make us give up so we stop. If we stop, we don't win, period.
Yep. Doubt or just give up. Doubt or default. So earlier this week, I was talking to the Lord about my son. And my son is very frequently in need and says nothing to me, even going without food to pay bills, And I would gladly help him, but he won't ask. He told me he believes that we're supposed to be content with what we have. Plus, he doesn't want to take from me, and he thinks I would do without something if I help him. And I want him to have everything he needs and more than that. He has lived on very, very little for decades now. And that is a hard way to live. That really breaks your spirit after a while. Less than I even thought it was possible to live on. And I hate that. And I want him to have plenty and be able to enjoy his life. And, you know, he never complains about it. Never, ever complains about it. He has matured into a man of great integrity. He spends all his time helping other people. You know, the Lord also wants us to have plenty while we're down here. Poverty and lack do not glorify him any more than sickness does. Poverty in your life does not make the unbelievers around you want to know your God. All that does is cause them to ask themselves, wow, if their God is so great, so mighty, why are they in need? Why don't they even have enough of anything? So let me tell you what the Lord spoke to me while I was cleaning on March 31st about the house. Because this all has to do with believing for your promises. Maybe your promise is to have an income that is a little bit above enough to pay your bills or more than enough so that you can bless others and you can bless your church and you can give to people in need or whatever. I was getting towels together to do laundry. And I noticed that I have this little small dresser by the sink in the bathroom that just holds my stuff. And I keep a little hand towel across the top of it because this house is very dusty and the dust collects there. So I keep a hand towel there. And then about once a week, I change out the towel and put a clean one down. And I noticed that the hand towel had gotten dusty. So I was taking everything off of that and setting it into the sink so I could replace it with a nice clean one and wash the dusty one with the laundry. So I've tried for the last several years to be ever more mindful of keeping everything clean and neat. It's just something that I'm challenging myself to do in a bigger house that takes more work. This house is mostly living areas, so it takes a lot of work. In a house, anything that you set down starts growing like weeds in a garden as it becomes the next, I don't have time to deal with that right now, pile. Okay, you set one thing down and you look at that a week later if it's in the wrong place and you'll find a pile of stuff on top of it. So I'm building the habit of doing things that need to be done as I find them, especially since the Lord told us a few months ago, don't put it off. First, he told me that personally for me, don't put it off, don't put it off, stop putting things off. And I'm not a big procrastinator, but on things like that, I had not built the good habits I needed to build. So I'm working on that. So I was trying to be obedient to that. So I'm taking things off this little mini dresser and I'm really not thinking about anything while I'm doing it. And the Lord showed me very clearly in my spirit that he moved me to this big problem-ridden house to train me how to take care of a house so he can give me my home and I will know how to properly care for it.
It's so amazing.
Because I've only ever been a renter and my family was only ever a renter. And I've never learned how to do preventative maintenance or repairs or anything else because when you live in a rent house, that's not your responsibility. And I was so relieved when he showed me that because I was like, thank God. You know, there's a reason for all this misery that I've gone through in this house. It was educational. It was a training program, if you will, for when he brings me my house so I won't ruin it because I don't know how to take care of it. You know, or maybe not ruin it, but let it be run down in any area because I will understand how to take care of it and how to do preventative things so I don't have to go through, you know, over there what I went through here. And then he spoke to me and he said, you are not staying here. I was like, oh, praise God. I did the happy dance for days after this, y'all. Hallelujah. I mean, that's shouting ground right there. I had really believed prior to that because the time is so late and because of the pandemic and all that, that I would die in this broke down old rent house with all these issues, never knowing the joy of just owning my own house. And my real dream is to own a house and on the same land, not right up in together or anything, but there'll be another house where my son can live so that he's not so far away. So that like if I cook a big meal, he can come over and maybe hopefully eat with me, but at least, you know, share food and stuff with him. He doesn't want to live right by me. He definitely does not want to live in the same house with me. And I understand that because he's a full grown man, but I would like to have him nearby because I am 61 years old, y'all. And the older you get, the more you want your grown children around you. You just want that. And he and I are very close. So, hallelujah to God for having mercy on me and my son, too.
Do you
and
remember?
I believe it. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Do you remember whenever you called me and told me that you told me about what you just said, that he has showed you that. And he showed me that all the money that you were putting into the rent house and all the things that you were fixing were sowing seed for your house, and you didn't even know it.
And this year, out of the blue, and y'all know I'm not a gardener, this year, all of a sudden, I got the idea to start planting like some flowering bushes and stuff here around the same time that this happened, but before it happened, because I'm like, you know, if I'm stuck here, I grieve every spring and summer because I have no flowers to look at, and I love flowers. I especially love pink and coral-colored flowers. So I thought, well, let me try to plant something. So I started asking people I know. I was like, do you have any extra flower bulbs? If you clean out your bulb bed, can I have some? Can I have cuttings off your crepe myrtles? You know, the church was cutting their crepe myrtles, trimming them back. And I said, can I have the cuttings off of them? Because I'm trying to grow some flowers in that rent house yard. Any of you who have rented know this, but any of you who have not grown up as renters don't know this. Rent houses have ugly, barren, non-landscaped yards. They are the ugliest yards on the block, always, because no one takes care of them, because they're not staying. This house has an extra lot included in the land, so there's a lot of space to mow, but there's not really hardly anything on it. There's nothing but like some trees. And so I thought, wouldn't some crepe myrtles look pretty out there? Crepe myrtles grow like crazy up here in Arkansas because it's hot and it's humid, and crepe myrtles love heat. So I got crepe myrtle cuttings from everywhere. And I got a mimosa cutting from somebody, and I got some flower bulbs from my friend Tom up in Michigan, sent me some flower bulbs so I can plant some tiger lilies and some hostas. And so I've been doing all this, and the Lord showed Nicole that those were also seeds towards my house. So I'm really excited because now I have seed in the ground, and I have a promise to stand on that, you know, God, it really is his will. And so I'm going 100% gung-ho believing for this house. I'm believing it, I'm receiving it, and I'm calling it in every day. And I'm walking around the house, and like, if I see something somewhere, like, you know, if I see a picture in a magazine or something of a granite countertop or something, thank you, Lord, my house has granite countertops in the kitchen, you know, and just claiming it. And maybe my house will have all those things, and maybe it won't. It'll still be my house, so it won't matter. But it's fun to do that to me, because
I'm sorry.
I know he is going to bring me a house. Go ahead.
He just showed me that the plants and stuff that you're planting in this house, it's for somebody who's always wanted that in their house and can't do it.
I was hoping that it would at least beautify the yard for somebody else. And I had a feeling it might be somebody that's not able to go out and do the gardening.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure. So that's confirmation. Oh, and when I was telling my cousin Tammy, who lives down in Santa Fe, Texas, I was telling her about believing for a house. When I was telling her about him speaking to me, when I stopped speaking, she said the Lord just spoke to her and said you're going to get your house. And I was like, oh. So I have like already two confirmations. So I'm almost jumping with joy every day knowing that that's coming. And I'm working on the yard here to make this nicer for other people, and starting to, you know, try to keep everything neat and orderly in the house and make sure that everything is as nice as I can leave it in here. Because I really believe, I honestly believe that a couple of days ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, you have less than a year left in this house. So I believe that the other house is coming pretty quick. So I'm really, 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 really excited. I don't know where it is, and it doesn't matter, because I know whoever God speaks to do that, to bring it, he's going to show them where to put it.
Amen.
Or where the house is or whatever. So anyway, all of y'all who are believing for a promise, I want you to take encouragement from this. If he can bring me this that I've believed for over 20 years, and now that I'm not doubting anymore, then he can believe you whatever you're believing for too. He can bring it to you. There's still time. He wants to do these things for us. He knows that we're living in a time that's really hard. He knows that, you know, we're living under increased persecution, and that we see what's coming in the end times, and we live under that stress. But he wants us to have these desires of our hearts while we're here. Why would he not? And another thing, before I was a Christian, back when I worked on a seismograph crew in the oil and gas field, this was back in the mid-90s or so. I'd been on the crew a couple of years, and they gave you... you had vehicles to drive. They were crew vehicles. You didn't have your own vehicle that you drove. And I had, you know, a decent truck that I drove on the crew. It was nice enough. And I was the senior permit agent on that crew. And somebody else who had less seniority than me, they gave him a brand new truck. And I was like, what? No, they didn't. And I was really upset about that because I'm like, I have seniority. Why are they getting the new vehicle, you know? And so I thought, okay, maybe they took better care of the vehicle that they were driving before that. And I think that was the case. And so I started taking care of what I had like it was what I wanted. And that is what I'm doing now. And the Lord brought that story back to my remembrance. And I believe he wants me to tell you, whatever you have, take care of it like it's what you want. If you have a spouse that is unsaved, that's, you know, makes you just want to beat your head against the wall sometimes, try to treat them like they are already the spouse that you want, because we're calling those things that be not. We need to act as if we already have what we want. It's part of walking in faith, and I think it's part of calling in what we're asking for. So I am starting to treat this house as if it was the house that I want. Does that make sense?
I can confirm that because that is not in our notes. And I was he just told me that I need to treat my husband like he's saved now. And I can confirm that 100%. And I never thought of it like that because some of the things that happen, I'm thinking I'm dealing with a child. You know, it's just so hard to feel, and so it's hard to see it like that. But I hadn't thought of it like that until he just said that. For Sophie just said it, that's complete confirmation. And that's hard to do to treat him like he's saved now.
The marriage ministry that I used to listen to, Marriage Today, they have the best marriage teachings of any marriage ministry I've ever listened to. And they're fun to listen to because they're funny. It's Jimmy and Karen Evans. And I believe they are in Southlake, which is outside of Dallas, I think. Anyway, they used to talk about, you know, how one person might get saved in the marriage, and they would come to them and go, is there any hope? And they'd go, yes, there's hope. Just do this. And they would tell them, you know, basically, you be the bigger person. You be the person who forgives. You be the person who, you know, sets the example. And that reminds me of that. But this is just something that the Lord has begun showing me. Treat what you have like it's what you already want. He's getting us ready. And he's preparing us by letting us see it in our mind that way. And then when we step into the actual promise, when I move into my new house, I will already know how to treat it because I'll have already been doing that here.
It's like, it comes back to that faith is the essence thing. It's like the faith lets you see something that's not there so that it will
be. Yes. So because you can't be what you can't see. You can't... you have to be able to see in your mind you as that person or you with that thing in order to get there.
Do you know that when Abraham had brought Isaac to the altar, if you read, and I'm remembering it here, so I'll say it exactly
in Genesis.
Right. Yeah, whenever he said, it says he looked up and he looked afar off and saw the place. I'd heard a minister talk about that, and he said he wasn't looking at the place that he was going to sacrifice Isaac. He was looking into the future of when Jesus was going to die for us. And then
that was all the same mountain.
Yes, and Isaac said, Dad, where is the ram? And he turned to Isaac and he said, God will provide the lamb, because he saw what was going to happen in the future.
I have never heard anybody say that. That is so good.
And so we have to look at the promises and look at it in the future and realize he said it. It's going to happen. We cannot let Satan steal our faith from us by creating doubt in our situations.
No.
And so the Hebraic understanding was if Abraham was not willing to lay down his son, then God would not have laid down his. And that was why that happened.
That's really good. Oh, and while we're talking about, you know, treating what you have like what you want, no, the Lord did not bring me a new truck while I was on the crew. He brought me a whole new job and helped me buy my own brand new truck. My own. So there you go.
Yeah. So what Glenda and I both noticed is that there's a wave of weariness attacks hitting everybody.
Oh, yeah, there is.
And that's strategic, because if you are weary and you're tired, then doubt's going to come in real easy, and then you're going to be delaying the progress that God wants you to make. the other day I went because my dad's still recovering. Mom is with him and they're having their kitchen redone. And that started in January and they just have not done it. And so she has no stove, no kitchen sink, nothing.
Oh no.
It's terrible.
Oh, no.
So
oh, that's got to be horrible.
I know, and taking
it'd be like living in a motel room.
I know. So people at church have been bringing food and stuff, and I've been going and helping as much as I can to do things. So I went to visit. I had a doctor's appointment. I had class. I had doctor's appointment. I had errands to run. I went to their house. I helped them. I went and did her grocery shopping. I came back.
I remember that day. Yeah.
I went while I was doing her grocery shopping. I grabbed a salad at Walmart. I went and unloaded their groceries, got them settled, got them food, and then I went to the church to teach. And I was telling you, text me, I was telling you what I was doing, and you were like, I don't know how you're doing that. You should be exhausted. And so I was thinking,
I don't know how she does every day, y'all. I'm serious.
I have like a week where I have to recover.
I bet.
But anyway, you said you must be so tired, and I got to thinking, I was like, I'm actually not. I actually have more energy than I usually have. And God showed me, it was because I was with my mom and dad who love God. And he was showing me that in the Bible at the end, it says, Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as you see the day approaching. And he showed me that being around godly people and talking about God and those things actually bring you energy and joy and peace. When you live in, on the other hand, with somebody that's not saved, it drains the life out of you.
Yeah, it does.
So not only is Satan trying to make us weary, but he's trying to separate us from our strength that we get from each other in God. So it's important to not forsake that. If you're in struggling in something and the doubt's coming in and you can't get control of it, reach out to somebody that you know loves God. Talk to them. They'll have faith for you, and it will encourage you, and you'll be able to get back up and get going again.
Yeah, you will. Nicole and I do that for each other all the time, trying to hold on to things. And now that I've started going to church, I can see such a huge difference in well-being, overall well-being, because I lucked out, and the church God kept leading me towards was actually a loving church family.
Yeah.
I haven't attended church regularly since 2017 when I was helping start that church here that all went bad.
And I remember listening to you talk about it, and you're just so happy and so much joy, and it really makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
That's why he wants us separated from each other, because we have noticed just talking on the phone and other people in the situation I'm dealing with my husband. The demonic forces seem to block me from getting revelation. But when I'm speaking to you or speaking to another friend about it that's godly, it comes through and I see it.
Yeah.
So they're not able to block it on both sides.
No, because the anointing increases when you're talking to somebody else that walks real close with the Lord. And I get revelation too when I'm talking to Nicole or when I'm talking to my friend Ray, who I have on the show a lot, or my cousin Billy. I get revelation. Same reason. Yeah.
We have to remember not to let Satan convince us that he is in control of our promises.
Amen.
God said it. It will be done as long as you don't let Satan bring doubt to cause delay.
He brings doubt. You just need to say, not today, Satan, and not tomorrow either.
Now, God has a destiny for you, but doubting brings delay. And I've heard Glenda say this multiple times, and when I was working on this, he said it that way, you know, when in doubt, cast it out. And so I started thinking about that today when I was finishing up these notes and we were waiting to start the recording, but I never saw doubt as a demonic spirit before.
I never did either. That was a revelation for me when you told me that.
And so if there's anybody out there that struggles with doubt on a daily basis, you need to cast it out. That's not supposed to be there. Doubt is the opposite of faith. It'll stop your faith from growing like nothing else. And so
cancels it out.
Yes. Just like fear will cancel your faith, doubt will too, because they're one and the same. And demonic spirits that are fighting against this always work in teams because they're not omniscient. They have to work together with another. They're not all powerful like God is. So they have to work together to make you think that. And so doubt has got to be there in almost all cases. And I just had never seen that before. I'm also going to work on that one with my husband too. I was thinking about that as I was writing that out.
There you go.
Yeah.
I am seeing in the spirit, you are fixing to see some big, big changes in that situation as you apply these principles. I'm seeing it right now. Oh, I'm seeing great, awesome. Great joy and great happiness for you as this starts happening. I'm excited for that. I'm excited. And realize all of you who are standing on a promise that if you have not seen your promise fulfilled, it could be you've become double-minded like I did. Could be you're doubting like Nicole's talking about. It could be that it's possible something in God's timing is not in place yet, or somebody who's part of the solution is not cooperating, but you can pray and fight, you know, on behalf of that.
You know, in the Bible, it says that he gives us that even if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, he had shown me that the other day, that the seed is small, but when that tree grows, it's huge. But we still have to plant that seed and let it grow. But if you have weeds of doubt coming in and choking your plant, it's not going to grow.
There's somebody listening right now. There's a woman listening to this, and you have a tiny, tiny seed, and you feel really bad because what you want is something big, and you feel like there's no chance you can get it. But you have a tiny seed, and it's not even money. It's a different kind of seed. Like, I don't know if it's a piece of jewelry or something, but you have something, and you've been thinking about sowing it towards your what your dream is. And the Lord says to you, woman of God, your seed is not too small. That the mustard seed was much smaller. And he says, sow it and watch what I will do. And I see you rejoicing right now. You know this word is for you. God's going to bring your dream to pass, honey. You just sow that seed and do whatever he's leading you to do. Do what he's leading you to do and trust him for the result. I want to encourage y'all, start taking care of whatever you have now as if it is what you want. Treat it as if it is your dream already manifest, okay? And also, here's the fun part. To help affirm my belief, you know, in my home coming to pass, I began working on what I call making the vision plain in my mind of what I wanted. And that's the walk around, thank you, Lord, for the granite, you know, countertops and whatever. And, you know, when you live in a rent house, the colors, the appliances, the curtains, the layout, floor plan, it's all something somebody else picks out. It's nothing that you had anything to do with, and you just live, you know, you live with it because that's what you got. What we're believing God for can be completely different. So be specific with God. Tell him what you want. You can write it down. You can write out your prayer or just make a list of, Lord, this is what I would like to have. This is what I really want. Then start taking care of what you have as though it's what you want and get the doubt out of the way. And also, not only should we declare what we want, but we should declare Ephesians 3:20 and 21 over it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in you is your faith. That's the sparkling substance that Nicole saw. It's your faith rising up and slapping the doubt out of the way. Okay? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We want to bring God glory by believing for these things so he can bless us and we can show everybody that our God is a God who blesses the people who serve him. Did you have anything else, Nicole, you wanted to tell the people?
Yeah, just an example. I have a big backyard with lots of trees. There's only one little spot that has sun. And so a couple of years ago, I decided I was going to put a swing out there and plant some pretty plants because we had one of those pools that were above ground. We had taken that down, so it was all dirt. And so I worked really hard in the spring and got it all pretty and had plants and stepping stones. It was beautiful. And then it got really, really busy and some weeds started and then I didn't tend to them. And then if you would look at it right now, it looks like a jungle grew over the whole thing. You can't see the plants. It's all full of weeds and they have choked out everything that's there.
Yeah, the earth took it back.
Yes, and it's like I'm so scared to walk in there because of snakes. I'm not about to go clean that out.
No, don't do it.
My point is that you can have the faith that you need, and it's you're putting in, you're nurturing, it's doing good, but the doubt starts coming in, and if you don't tend to it immediately, it will start growing, and before you know
Amen.
it will choke the life out of your promise. So
well said.
As soon as you get a doubt because of a situation, because they're going to come up and those emotions are going to hit you and you're going to say no. Immediately, what we have to learn to do is say no. In the name of Jesus, my promise is happening. This doubt will not be allowed to stay. Go now in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And it'll
stop.
We have to fight it off so that God can give us what we're believing for. He's just waiting for us
wants to give us these things. He wants to give them to us. Y'all remember that when I was praying for my mom in 2006, and I said, Lord, because she had been put in a nursing home, and I said, Lord, I'm not questioning any decision you make, but mom believed you for a house for years. You know, and that's all she ever wanted was a house and, you know, to be happily married. And, you know, what's the deal with mom's house? And he showed me a vision. He said, I did desire to bless her. I do desire to bless her, but she keeps speaking negativity out. She'll believe and then she'll speak negativity and cancel it all out. And he showed me a vision of the stairway from heaven, and the angels were all excited and they were coming down the stairway, and they had these bags tied with gold bands that were mom's blessings. And then she would speak something negative because she suffered a lot of disappointment and heartache in her life. And because she spoke those things, it canceled the blessings. And I would see the angels would hang their heads in sadness and start going back up the stairway with the blessings. Don't send the angels back, y'all. Don't send them back. We don't want to send them back. We want the blessings to come to us, not go back away from us. And I want to, you know, I can't wait to hear all y'all's praise reports when your promises get fulfilled. Y'all know y'all going to hear about my house when I get it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if we have time for this, but I forgot we would.
We have time.
I need the listeners to be praying for me. If y'all can remember back a couple of years ago, we did a podcast about a wolf in sheep's clothing, and I discussed a story with being as vague as I could.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, since then, the situation has resolved, and the person has left the church.
Praise God.
However, at the beginning of the fall, I think, I was in the middle of song service, and when we do our song service, the lights, we put the lights down. I just find it easier to worship like that. That's just what, I don't know, that's how we do it. And I was on the platform playing, and I happened to look up when this person walked into the doors. And immediately I got a feeling like something's wrong with the person. And they'd never been here to the church before. They walked to the front door, the front row, sat down, looked directly at me. And God said, the wolf, because I'm still being generic here, the wolf sent him, and he's here to shoot you. I'm like, what? And so immediately I started doubting that what I just heard was God, because I'm crazy. In the middle of singing, mind you. So I'm trying to pray in tongues and process what it was I just got all at the same time. Okay, so the second song starts and my dad starts singing. So I immediately start binding up any demonic spirits in him, because, you know, I'm not sure what I just heard. I'm still focusing with this doubt and everything at one time, okay? I bind up all demonic spirits. I command protection. I was doing all this stuff under my breath while I was playing the piano while my dad was singing. The whole time watching this person, because I'm getting ready to duck. That's how strong the feeling was.
Wow.
Unbeknownst to me, God told someone else in the church that had their eyes closed the entire time. She was praising God, and she just heard gun. And she starts arguing with God and says, what, God? I'm trying to worship. This doesn't make any sense. And she heard it again, and he said, pray in tongues. And she said, God, I'm trying to worship. So he said, well, then sing in tongues. So she starts screaming in tongues. She has no idea what's happening. Never saw
that's
the person
so funny.
Come in.
She's getting on to God for warning. That's hilarious.
And then there were two security guards in the church that had the same feeling. They knew something was wrong, but didn't know what was going on. Okay, so he was... multiple people were praying at the same time. As soon as I finished binding them up, I think I can't remember exactly because it's been a while, but I did command the demons torture or something like that. I don't remember. I started singing again. I keep watching his hand because he keeps putting it in his pocket, and I'm getting ready to duck. Not that it was probably going to do me much good. I knew I was praying, and then I looked up after I finished doing it out loud. He shook his head, put his hand in his pocket, shook his head, and ran out of the church. Well, I was so relieved. I mean, I just like, I wanted to jump for joy, but I couldn't tell anybody what was going on. I just completely finished doing the song service. And after I walked out, well, somebody followed the person out, saw him take the gun out of his pocket and put it in his car. So it verified what it was that God had told me. And I was so happy, you know, so we prayed about the situation, whatever. The whole reason I'm bringing this up is because last Sunday at church, the same person walked into the building again. And so
well, please, please pray for her protection
and
the pastors and everybody else there,
because we don't want to alert people. We, you know, trying to handle it the right way. But I knew that it was the same person. And so I was praying. It wasn't as an alarm as the last time. They were sitting in the back. I watched the whole time. I don't even know how it was God that did this, because I was able to play with the words and the music without really looking at it, because I was watching for movement the whole time. They stayed for the whole service. They text on their phone the whole time. I sat out of sight because I just wanted to be careful. And then when I left, the person stayed in their vehicle, watched what vehicle I got in, and then left, but then tried to follow me after I passed, because they pulled into a parking lot that was closed. So something's wrong. And so we need prayer. The person that's involved in this is not okay. And we're praying for the person's salvation, but I just need prayer. I know that there's witchcraft involved. And so I just would ask that y'all, if you get anything, or if you could please hold me up in prayer. This situation needs to be resolved.
Yeah. And you can contact Nicole through her blog site, which is https://wingsofwarfare.blogspot.com. There's a contact form on there.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, we will definitely be praying. I want to pray a prayer real quick. Will you join me in praying for the listeners?
Sure.
Lord, we lift every listener to you right now. We pray, Lord God, that you would help them to grab hold of the promises that you have given them, to kick doubt out of the way, kick dirt in Satan's face, and move forward in believing 100%, not allowing the doubt to creep in, to start taking care of whatever they have like it's what they want, and that you will be able to fulfill every promise and every dream, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Bless every listener, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thanks for listening.
People that are out there that don't feel like they have enough faith, Lord, I ask right now that you would multiply their faith and help them see that it's there. They just need to plant it and let it start growing and keep watering it. Even in the small things that they do, it will grow. Yes. Remind them of all the things that you've done for them in the past that helps grow their faith.
Yes, Lord. I agree. Amen. Well, I hope this has been a blessing to all of you. Thank you, Nicole, for taking your time to speak to the listeners today and to be on the show and share your testimonies with us, because I know that you're going to encourage a lot of people through this.
You're welcome.
Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal?
Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today.